Could have been nice if you'd given Rick and I a chance to sign it too. Because now we're up here looking like people that don't do anything for anyone, but it's all right. It's kind of late now, Howard. We'll have a staff meeting though after church. Make sure we're all on the same page. Because, you know, it's kind of created an awkward moment for me. So I'm desperately thinking, well, what can I do now for the women of the church? And I look at my son and I go, oh, I know what I could do. I could cut the sermon in half. That would help. That would help. So I'm over there scratching everything out. I'll just cut the sermon in half. That's my gift. That's my gift. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So, which is a good thing because it was really a long sermon. And so now it'll just be... Well, because Mother's Day is so complicated. You know, it's not, you know, hear me, women, when I tell you this. It's not like Jesus established Mother's Day. All right, all right? Technically, Mother's Day is not, you know, some, you know, it just isn't there. And yet you want to recognize and acknowledge the important role that women have had in the life of faith. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. But you also have to be honest about this. And you guys know me. If nothing else, I'm honest. All right? And not everybody in this sanctuary was blessed with a great mother. In fact, not everyone in this sanctuary is a good mother. Not everyone in this sanctuary even ever cares to be a mother. Their idea of children is to have them in another room, away from them. They have been called by God in other places. So it gets complicated if you're going to be honest about how this works. But in the 1950s, when you had the golden era of everything and everybody was done perfectly and you had Donna Reed with a pearl necklace sweeping and mopping floors and cooking dinners and doing everything, whatever it was supposed to be, in the 1950s, the ideal setting was that mothers prayed for their children. Every morning, every night, knelt before God to lift their children into His presence. And so the one thing that Jesus and women could have in common is that they pray for us. In the scripture reading that Pam read, we see that Jesus is, it's His last night with the disciples. It's His very last night with the disciples, okay? He's getting ready to turn the mission over to the Keystone Cops, all right? The most clueless group of people on the planet, and He's got to turn it over to them. He's handing them the car keys. And these people can't punch their way out of a wet paper bag. They haven't understood anything He's taught them. They misunderstand, misrepresent, and He's getting ready to turn the whole mission over to them. It's His last night. And He doesn't set up any rules. Did you notice that? He doesn't set up a committee. He doesn't set up an organizational chart. He doesn't do any of these things. He doesn't set up a liturgy. He doesn't say, now look, when you have a worship service, this is the proper way to do things. You will have a hymn of praise followed by a call to worship with an invocation and then the Lord's Prayer. After that, you will then... No, He doesn't do any of those things. After His last talk with the disciples, He's getting ready to walk across the Kidron Valley, Mount Olivet, where He is going to be arrested and betrayed and crucified. The only thing that happens between the last lesson and that arrest, betrayal, and crucifixion is what we got tonight, today. And that is Jesus stops to pray. And the amazing thing is He's not just praying for Himself. Oh God, this is terrible. No. All of that going on, and Jesus takes time to pray for us. Did you hear that in the prayer? I pray not only for these, Father, but for those who believe on account of their witness. He is praying for you. Praying for you. He's getting ready to face crucifixion, and he takes time, not that God gives him strength, not that he could get a way out. He says, I need to pray for the people who are following behind me. I need to pray for the people who believe in my name. I need to pray for the people who are going to continue on with the mission and the ministry of your love and of your grace to make sure that all the world might know. I need to pray for them. And we forget that sometimes, that Jesus prays for us. He prays for us. And when we can remember that in our own lives, then we can move away from anxiety to anticipation. We can move away from gloom to gladness. We can move away from pain to possibility. We can move away from hopelessness to hopefulness because we remember Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is praying for us. We're facing complexities. We're facing confusion. We're facing perplexity. We got all this stuff. Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed. You ever feel overwhelmed? You ever feel like there's just way too much and you don't have it? You ever feel uncertain? Like you got to make some decisions and you don't have a clue what you're supposed to do. It's like when newborns, all right? It's like when newborns are sick. You ever take care of a baby that's sick? They don't have a little printout that tells you what's wrong. They've got all these orifices and all things coming out of all the orifices, but not a single piece of paper that says, I've got, no, you don't know. Why don't you tell me what's wrong? They're crying and you're just saying, if you'll tell me what's wrong, I will take care of you. You don't know. You're uncertain. There's times when God is working in your life. You know God's calling you to do something, but you don't know what it is. You want to be faithful. You want to be obedient, but God's not giving you any clear instruction. What are you supposed to do? Well, the first thing you do is remember that Jesus is praying for you. Some of us are facing some pretty hard challenges. Some have health challenges. That's no fun. That's no fun. Been vigorous all your life, been strong all your life. You're the one that's been taking care of everyone, and now all of a sudden you're finding that it's time for you to take care of yourself. That can be difficult. That can be difficult. There's some of us facing uncertainties. There's some of us facing challenges. There's times when we just think we're totally overwhelmed, ill-prepared, ill-equipped, not in any way capable of dealing with the challenges that are being placed before us. What are we supposed to do? Well, what we do is we remember that Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for us. You ever been prayed for specifically? Not in a general prayer. I'm talking about where the person was only focused on you. Could be me, could be a friend, could be a parent, could be a child, but they were just praying for you. You ever had that experience? You know how powerful that is? When you are being brought before the presence of God, being brought before the throne of God, maybe you're facing an illness. Maybe you're facing surgery. Maybe you're needing some peace. Maybe you're wanting some guidance. Maybe you're just going through some dark times and you need to be reminded of God's light and of God's hope. Whatever it is, and that person takes time and they pray for you and they lift you up in God's presence. That's a powerful thing. Sometimes in my life, I'm sometimes called to preach in other places, called to preach in other settings, not so much anymore. But it used to be that way. It used to be that way. And what they do, especially with me, they would say, Don, we're going to put you in this room and have all these people pray for you that you not give that message that you're going to give, because we want you to give this message instead. That's not true, but they would pray for you. They would pray for you, and they place their hands upon you, and they lift you up before the presence of God, asking for God's Spirit to come upon you. Why? Not so that you can be glorified, but that so you can be an instrument of grace. It's a powerful thing when you're lifted before the presence of God, and maybe God is calling you to wholeness. Maybe God is calling you to healing. Maybe God is calling you in a way that is, becomes a miraculous gift. But more times than not, what God is calling you to do is to remember that He's with you. Because in that prayer that Jesus prays, what he does not say is, Jesus, is, dear God, take him into the past. You don't hear any prayer from Jesus saying, let's go back to the glory days of yesteryear when everything was great in the 1950s or the 1960s or whatever decade you want to pick, and everything was right and everybody was noble and everything was holy and right and just. No. Jesus boldly in that prayer calls to the future, that we would remember that God doesn't work just in the past. He did, but it's not like he's on vacation. He's continuing to work. And he calls us to work with him in the future. We are called to remember that whatever future we face, wherever it is we're going, whatever it is we're going to do, that God is going with us. We do not face the challenge of the future alone. God is with us. That's the intention of that prayer, to remember that God is with us. Holy, mighty, powerful. When we remember that, we become people of hope. We become people of grace. It's not like all of a sudden we get to be smart. Not all of us can pull straight A's. Some of us have to muddle through school with C's and B's and other grades. Not all of us are going to be the brightest and the best. Not all of us are blessed with big, strong bodies, bright, sharp minds, great musical talents. No, no, no. But every single one of us have been blessed by being lifted up before God by Jesus Christ. Each of you have been prayed for by name, by Jesus. Can you let that soak in for a moment? I don't know what you're facing this week. Maybe it's a joyful week for you. And Jesus is just praying, Lord, I thank you so much. This person has been a blessing to so many people. And I thank you for the gift that their life has brought. I thank you for the light that they brought to people who've been in dark places. I thank you for the words of encouragement and support and hope that they've given. And Jesus is lifting you up before the throne with thanksgiving. Grateful for your faithfulness and your obedience. Or maybe this week is a week filled with challenges. Or maybe this week is a week filled with opportunities. I don't know what this week is filled for you. But I do know that Jesus is praying for you. And so I just want you to think about that for a moment. I just want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to think about what you're facing this week. It might be with relationships, it might be with work, it might be finances. I don't know what it is. But I want you to picture Jesus right now, hands on your shoulder, looking intently into your face, praying for you. Praying for you. Lord our God, I pray right now that you would give to each person here the opportunity to hear your voice, to feel your presence, to know that they have been lifted up before you, to know that your Son has done more than just won a victory on a cross. He's won a victory in their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would remind each of us that we are gathered here not because we are faithful, but because you are. And that through your faithfulness, you have promised to always be with us. That through your faithfulness, you have promised to always love us. That through your faithfulness, you have promised to hold us, fill us, and to use us as instruments of your grace. When we face our challenges this week, our opportunities, our blessings, help us, Lord, to remember your Son who prays for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.